Rabbi, a new Masechta. What a great day.
Boker Tov, world. Today's daf in our new Masechet Zvachim, Baruch Hashem, is daf Beit. And we had our little introduction yesterday introducing the terminology of the Mishnah. So let us begin discussing the concept of Lishma. So kol ha-zvachim shenizbechu shelo lishman. So remember that we had two types of dinim of Lishma. We had Lishma, the shame of the korban. If you're bringing a shlamim, it's supposed to be brought as a shlamim. You're bringing an ayla, it's supposed to be brought as an ayla. But when we say brought, what do we mean? Well, we had four steps that we were talking about. We said brought, and that's actually what the Mishnah means here, even though it discusses only the Shechita. It means the steps of Shechita, Kabbalah, Halacha, and Zrika. That's where we find the dinim of the Kavana. And the Mishnah say that you have to have in mind that it was Lishma. However, what if you didn't? And what if you were shechting a korban for another korban? So let's see, you were shechting a korban shlomim for a korban asham. We'll see that it's actually a machlokas about asham. But for instance, you've changed the name. It's still a kosher korban in the sense that all of the other dinim of the korban still apply to it. The only thing is ela shelo alula ba'alim l'shem chova. The problem is that it doesn't count for whatever chiyuv the Bialim had. So if the Bialim had made a neder that he's going to bring a korban like this, he was not yotzi his neder because it's not his korban. So it loses everything in terms of the Bialim, but it loses nothing in terms of the actual dinim of the korban itself. There's only two special cases where this isn't true. And that's a korban Pesach and a korban Chatas. And those two, if they are shechted or any of the avodas, Kabbalah Saddam, Halacha Saddam, Zrika Saddam, was done with a machshava for a different korban, it is completely puzzle, and it is therefore burned. It is not a din of a korban kosher at all. But not all Zmanim are the same. The Pesach is only possible if it's brought Shelo Lishma in the time that it's meant to be brought. And that means it's only on Erev Pesach, on Yud Dalad Nisan, during the period of the day in which it would be kosher as a Korban Pesach. But if it's not kosher as a Korban Pesach, then we're going to see a fascinating halacha that a Korban Pesach at a time where it's not roy to be used as a Korban Pesach is automatically a Korban Shlomim. Well, a Korban Shlomim is kosher if it is shechted shelo lishma. So therefore, the special din of passing a Pesach shelo lishma is only on Yud Dalad Nisan after Chatzos during the time that you're allowed to be bringing Korban Pesach. But when it comes to the special din of a Chatat, which is always possible shelo lishma, if you brought it as a different Korban, that would be at any time. There's no specific time for that Chatas. Rabbi Eliezer, he disagrees, and he says it's not true that it's only the Pesach and the Chatas that are different. It's also the Korban Asham that has the same din of becoming Nifsal. The Pesach, I agree with you, the Pesach is only on Yud Dalad B'Nisan, Bismano, but Chatas and Asham can become Pesach at any time that you thought about it as a different carbon when you were doing the Arba Avodas. Omar Rabbi, so here we have some special prote dinim. My Svora is, says Rabbi Eliezer, where do I get this from? Amar Rebbe Eliezer, well, I just think if a chatas essentially is ba'a al-chet, and the asham is ba'a al-chet. So it seems to me that the similarity would be such that just like a chatas is psula shelo lishma, af ha-asham should be posel shelo lishma. That's a simple binyan av, essentially. Yossi Ben-Choni says there's another special din that you haven't mentioned, and he disagrees with the shitas that we've had so far. Hanishchatim l'shem Pesach or l'shem Chatas psulim. Not only are the Pesach and the Chatas pasul when they are shechted for something else, but according to Yossi Ben Choni, in the same way that shelo lishma of a korban Chatas or a korban Pesach apostles then, the same thing is true in the other direction. If you shecht another korban and you call it a Pesach or you call it a Chatas, that will passel it. And this is an inverse halacha. We'll see where he gets this from as we go along in the Gemara. Shimon, Achi Azariah Eimer, and now here comes yet another halacha, which argues on our shitas up until this time. Why was he called Shimon Achi Azariah instead of being called Shimon Ben, whoever his father was? So this we know from the Gemara, that the idea over here was the special relationship between Shimon and Azariah. Azariah went out to make money in order to support Shimon, and Shimon's learning, the schar of his learning, they agreed that this would be split between them. And because of that, the Gemara discusses this in terms of Yisachar Zvulun and the special halachas that apply to situations where one person is supporting another and shares in the schar of his limud Torah. So he was called, because of that, al shem his brother who made his learning possible. Shechatan l'shem gavoa mehem. So that depends. If you shechted any korban, now here he's not talking about the Pesach and the Chatas, that he agrees with. But if you took any korban and you shechted it for something that had a greater level of kedusha than that korban, it would be kosher. Excuse me. But if you shechted it for a lower kedusha, then it would not be kosher. So what do I mean? So let's say if you shechted katshe katshim korbanos, and you remember the katshe katshim korbanos, the eila, and the even we had a shlomim, that was Ifche Shalmei Tzibor, a special type of shlomim was katshe katshim, and the chatas and the asham. So if you shechted any of those type of korbanos for katshim kalin, so then that would passel them. But vice versa, if you shechted katshim kalin for something that was on a higher madriga, so you shechted it pashem katshim, so then it would be kosher. So in other words, if you shechted an ola as a shlomim, according to Shimon Achi Azariah, the ola would be pasul. If you did it the other way around, the shlomim for an ola, it would be kosher. Another example would be, let's say bechor and maaser that were shechted l'shem shlomim. Now yesterday we spoke out that technically speaking, a bechor and a maaser are similar in being subcategories in a sense of the korban shlomim. However, there's a very important difference between the regular shlomim and the bechor and the maaser. And that is that the regular shlomim requires all kinds of things that the bechor and maaser don't. So it needs also shnayim shem arba, and it has also the special truma that is given to the kohen, which is the chaz of a shayk, and others in Yonim that we'll learn about in the Gemara in a few moments. And therefore, the Bechor and the Maaser are going downhill if you shecht it for a Shlomim, are going uphill if you shecht it for a Shlomim, but a Shlomim is going downhill if you shecht it for a Maaser, and that's, or for a Bechor, because it doesn't have Trufas Chaz of a Shok, it doesn't have Nisachim, and they are the Bechor and Maaser, all they have is one Matandam, and there's no Smicha, there's no Nesachim, there's no Tnufa. Because of that, it's a lower level of Kedusha of the Korban. So therefore, according to Shimon Achi Azariah, we would have to make that distinction as well. Now the question is, and the language, so once again, before we continue, let's just make sure that we remember the main dinim that we have in our Mishnah. Once again, we had four avodas. We had the Shechita, the Kabbalah, the Halacha, and the Zrika. Those were all called, as we learned yesterday, those were the Matirim. And if any of those Matirim you had in mind that this was a different carbon than the one that it was, generally speaking, the carbon is kosher, according to the Tanakhama. And the only problem is that the owner is going to have to re-buy that carbon and bring it because it was not oila for him, l'shem chova. And it has to be oila for him, l'shem chova, of course, in order for him to be yotzei his neder. So he's going to have to get another one. This was the general rule. And according to the Tanakhama, the only exclusions would be the Korban Pesach during Yudalad B'Nisan, during the time where you can bring it, if it was brought Shelo Lishma it's possible, and the Korban Chatas, whenever it is that you bring a Korban Chatas. Now, there were also some other shitas, which Rebbe Eliezer added, not only the Chatas and the Pesach, but the Oshon and the Chatas and the Pesach. Same idea. Yossi Ben Choni added an amazing thing, which is that it's bidirectional. And in the same way that the Chatas and the Pesach are possible for another carbon, any other carbon brought for them, of course, at the correct time, so the Pesach Bismano, if something was brought for Pesach Bismano, it would be possible in the same way that the Pesach Bismano would be possible brought for it. And the same thing would be true about the Chatas. So that's our third shita in the Mishnah. Our fourth shita in the Mishnah was Shimon Achi Azariah, who introduced a new halacha of the direction in which the Shinoi Hashem was referring. If it's a direction that's going up in the level of Kedusha, and we say the level of Kedusha doesn't necessarily mean the difference between Kachay Kalim and Kachay Kachim, which is a very extreme difference. It's even the difference between a Korban Shlomim that requires Tnufa, and that requires Shtei Matanei Shein Arba, as we'll see, and that has a Chazav Ishok, and that requires Smicha from the Bailim, whereas the Korbanais that do not require that, and let's say that would be a Korban that would be the Bechor or the Miser, even though in terms of all of its other dinim, it's considered to be the equivalent of the Shlomim. In terms, however, of those special dinim, they're lower because they don't require tenufa, and they don't require chazav ashok, and they don't require smicha, and they don't require shtei matanot shein arba. There's only one maton of smicha, and therefore they're considered to be a lower level type of shlomim, and even that would be possible according to Shimon Achi Azariah. So those are the four shitas that we just learned in the Mishnah, and now let's analyze the Mishnah a little more carefully. Usually we have a din that we always take the maximal information density in teaching Torah. And that's a klal, that le'olam yilamed adam tamidav derech k'tzara. So derech k'tzara means we have the least number of words and indications that are confusing. You keep things completely and strictly concise. Then why did we use the word ela? Ela does not belong in this Mishnah. If you're trying to tell me a halacha that a korban is kosher when it's shelo lishma, and you're trying to tell me it's din that it was not ela labalim, what does ela mean? Just say shvilo lishne velo alu labalim l'shem chova. The korban is kosher. You don't throw in an extra word that doesn't teach us anything. But I mean, it's not the but. Ah, but there is a but. You see, because it's meant to imply something very important. Hakomash malan ela. That is to say, the only issue is that they're lo alo lebalim l'shem chova. But any other issue, for instance, could you now go ahead and make a different change in it? You'll say, well, I already changed it to a different shem korban, so now I should be able to also, maybe I did the shechita for a different korban. Maybe now I can do the zvicha for a different, I mean, I already made it a different korban. No, that's what the ela is coming to tell me. The single issue that is affected over here is the Baalim L'Shem Chova. As far as how you treat this korban, this is a 100% ela like it always was. And you are not allowed, we're going to see later on, that it's an actual iser to make any kind of shinui in a korban. We learned that out of a pasuk. So you're not allowed to even have a makshava to change it. And therefore, that continues. There's absolutely no change in the status of this korban. Therefore, b'kedushatayu kaimei, we'll see that the lo yechashev, that we talk about in the context of pigul and so on, there's also an iser of not being choshev. And it's also l'shenuyebo, you cannot make any additional changes. And Rava pointed this out, Kira Rava. The Amar Rava, if you did, let's say, the shechita of an oil, shelo lishma, you're not allowed to now do the zrika shelo lishma, or the holocha shelo lishma. And this is simple matter of a rational svara. Or I actually have a remez in the pasuk. E baite mesvara, e baite makra. If you want, just look at the reasonable svara over here. But what are you trying to say? That mishum deshani bar kohani lishne b'malizel, because you made unauthorized changes. What makes you suspect that those changes have any impact on the din of the carbon? That gives you a right to make further unauthorized changes? I mean, what's the logic in that? Do you have a marker that in thinking about it at the time of the Shechita as an oila, that somehow turned it into an oila or turned it into a shlamim? So that's the first simple svara. And if you have any arguments about that, it's actually a pasuk, a lovely diak in the pasuk. Motzar sifatecha tishmor. Keep every word that comes out of your lips and do it halacha l'maisa the same way that you made a neder to Hashem Elokecha as a donation. That makes no sense. If you make a neder is fundamentally different than a nedava. And this is an important yesod. It's a gavi yesod, which I think he's mentioned already in Masechet Nedarim, we've spoken about it, that a neder means a lie. A lie, the lashon of the Gavi note is, kiman, if you say it's on me, we say that in English too, on me, so it's as if it's al katfei, it's on his own shoulders. That's what on me means. And what does that mean when something's on me? The responsibility is on me. I take the responsibility on my shoulders. If something happens to it, it needs to be replaced. If I make a nedava and I say, this animal should be an oila, fine, the animal becomes an oila, but I'm not responsible for it if anything happens to it. And I didn't take anything on my own cognizance. And therefore, there's a tremendous difference in halacha. The Torah would not simply throw around the words and say something absurd. Kasher nadarta l'Hashem Elokecha nedava. I mean, it's a contradiction in terms. It's literally an oxymoron here. So how could you say such a thing? I mean, you say nedava? Nedava? Didn't you just say it's a neder? Kasher nadarta? Ella. What the pasuk is telling you is kasher nadarta is one option. But if it's not precisely kasher nadarta, and you made a change in the makshava of one of the matirin, so then im kamoshen nadarta sita, if you did precisely the way that you were supposed to, as you had made it a neder, an oila, shlomim, whatever, then it's a neder. And as a neder, you were yotze your neder. But if you'd made any changes, and you made it a different type of korban in any one of the matirin, then it's still a kosher korban, but it's as if you made a nedava. And, of course, a nedava is not going to be yotze your neder if you're not making a new kedusha of a nedava. But the point over here is that if it's a nedava, mishari lishnuye, if you make a korban as an oila and you say, this animal shall be an oila, are you allowed to make a shinui Hashem? Of course not. So what's the difference vis-a-vis your rights to make further changes in it? It's just because a change had already been made. It's irrelevant. And the pasuk is telling you, treat it as if it were an adava in the first place. Omele Ravina l'Rav Papa. Ravina pointed out to Rav Papa, it is such a shame. We had such a good time last night eating cholent at night. And we had this great discussion in which we had, oh, it was amazing. We had Rava come and we were all sitting over there together. And he asked a couple of really brilliant kind of issues, and he gave tirutzim to it, and they were contradictions. Ah, boy, did you miss out on the fun. So lo avi gavan bu'ur, you weren't with us in the tchum, this was Friday night, in Becharmach, that was the name of the town, where Rava had come and was discussing various inyanim. He raised Mile Mal Yasa, and he can't point it out. Rami means to point out a contradiction. He pointed out these fundamental contradictions, and in the end, he explained why they appear to be contradictions, but actually make sense. Wow. So Rav Papa said, well, tell me. My Mile Mal Yata. I mean, woof. I understand the cholent you can't share, but what about the mealy malyota that you can share? Actually, it's probably referring to a shear that he gave at night and probably wasn't eating cholent. But anyway, you know, we could certainly romanticize it a bit. So he pointed out, here's my question. And we had just started learning Zvachim, and he says, look at this Mishnah. This Mishnah says, Kol HaZvachim Shenis B'chur Shelo Lishman, right? It stresses that you brought it specifically as the wrong korban. But that means that the whole discussion over here is because of the fact that you specifically said it's for something else. But suppose you didn't have anything in mind. Suppose you just would have shechted it stam, then we would have assumed that, of course, that's kosher, and olu nami leba'alim l'shem chova, and since you didn't violate by specifying it something else, then we simply take it as a given that an oila is an oila, a shlomim is a shlomim. So what do we see from there? That where we have a din of lishma, it's not necessary to get up there and make a proclamation, I do hereby bring this as a carbon ola or as a carbon shlomim. The only time we've got ourselves into a pickle is where you said the wrong thing. But if you didn't say anything, that would be fine. That's called stama. So you see from there that alma, stama nami kilishman dami, something that is without any kind of specific mention, is the equivalent of bringing it for its own tachlis, okay? Now, I got a problem with the same concept of lishma, which, as you'll recall, comes up in the din of gittin. So a get needs to be written lishma, and you have to have in mind when writing a get, you have to have in mind the fact that it's l'shem krisos that it was written, and it was written l'shem this woman, and it was written l'shem this man, and so on, and this relationship. Now, okay, but if stama is lishman, how is it that when I get to Masechet Gittin, it seems that it's announcing that stama is not lishman? Take a look at this Mishnah. V'ramini. Kol haget shenichtav shelo l'shem isha pasul, ustama nami pasul. And the din over there, even though it says the same word, it says, if it was written not for the purposes of this woman that was getting the get, it would be pasul. And the din over there is, as we're going to see, is that stam is just as pasul as writing it for the wrong purpose. So why isn't that true? I mean, this is an abstract consideration of the nature of lishma. It shouldn't have anything to do with the ideas of differences between gittin or between bringing karbonas. We're talking about an abstraction, which is the awareness of what it is that you're doing. The difference between the assumptive awareness and the difference between the statement about what it was. Why should there be any kind of difference between the concept of stoma lishma when it comes to zvachin and the concept of stoma shelo lishma when it comes to gittin? And at the end, Rava himself was Shani. He explained the difference. The difference is very simple. Zvachim bistam lishman omdim. Basically, the moment that you create this karba, and you made that neder, you made that nedava, and you set this animal aside, that gave it its shame. This is the oila, this is the shlomim. And because of that, it doesn't matter what anybody's thinking, because the innate nature of the carbon as an ayla is that it's meant to be brought in these particular ways. And the same thing is true if it's meant to be a shlomim. And therefore, if you don't do anything to it, then there should be no problem. But how can you say that a woman is waiting for divorce and is actually the norm is to have a document written that would divorce her? I mean, that makes no sense. Over there, it's the lishma that creates the get, and therefore, how could stam create the same thing that a lishma does? So if you're trying to take away a given, you're right. You need to actually articulate the new awareness that's changing it. But if it's not a given, then you need to create it. And over there, it makes sense that stam is shelo lishma, the equivalent of, it's not that it's shalol lishma, but it's not lishma. And that's enough to make it a get that is not kosher. Okay, so all of this nice discussion, says the Gemara, was based on certain assumptions of Rava. In other words, Rava took for granted. As you all know, the din is that by when it comes to our Mishnah, Zvachim Stama is Lishma. And then he said, and as you all know, when it comes to Gittin, Stama is Lo Lishma. I mean, how do we all know? Why does he take this for granted? Zvachim, B'Stama K'sherim Minola. I mean, I'm assuming that you're basing it on the language of the Mishnah, which is what we started with, right? The Mishnah says, Kol Azvachim Shen Nizbuchu Shelo Lishman. So all it says is, if they were brought specifically, Shelo Lishman, it could have said, Shelo Nizbuchu Lishman. They weren't brought Lishman. And instead it chooses the language of Nizbuchu Shelo Lishman. So maybe that's the basis, in fact, of Rava's assumption. Well, that's not going to help you much, because Ilei Mimaditan Kalas Vachim Shenizbechu Shelo Lishman Velo Katani Shelo Nizbechu Lishman. Got news for you. The Mishnah in Gittin has also the same language, and Rav over there made the opposite assumptions. Because take a look, Kabiget Nani. We have the same language when it comes to Gittin, and the language over there in the Mishnah is kol haget shenichtav shelo l'shem isha pasul. Okay, that's the same language. It doesn't say shelo nichtav l'shem isha. It says shenichtav shelo l'shem isha. But it's precisely the same diuk that you have over here in Zevachim. The get was written specifically not for the woman. Okay, so then why did Rava assume that even stama would be pasul? It can't be based on the words. There's got to be a basis that shows Rava that it's not true when it came to the Gittin. So, okay, let's take a look, because there's a series, actually, of Mishnayas, where we talk about here in Zvachim and where we talk about there in Gittin, about various examples of Lishman. So let's take a look, when it comes to our sugya in Zvachim, where would there be a mocker for Rava saying that stama is just as good as lishma? Maybe it's from the Mishnah later on in this parak, and it says there as follows: Ketzad lishman v'shelo lishman. Over there, we're talking about this machlokas, the Rashi and Tosfos. Are we talking about two different materian, where one was done lishman and one was done shelo lishman? Or are we talking about the same act, let's say, of shechita, where it was partially done lishman and then he changed his mind and did it shelo lishman? That we'll get into when we get to the Mishnah. But the point for us is just the point of the language. When the Mishnah defines lishman and shelo lishman, so it gives examples there, and it says, for instance, suppose you started doing the Shechita L'Shem Pesach, and then you changed it L'Shem Shlomim. Okay, so that would be called Lishman V'Shelo Lishman. And there, it's Pasul, because there was, again, a Pesach is Pasul Shelo Lishman. But apparently, it's only because you said L'Shem Pesach or L'Shem Shlomim, there you changed the Pesach into a Shlomim. But what if you would have just started shechting at L'Shem Pesach, and then the rest, or the other avodas, according to Tosfos, you would have done without any machshava, and you would not have said L'Shem Shlomim. You just went ahead and shechted it. Well, apparently over there, if it would be stama, then it would be kosher. The only reason we said there's a problem is because you made this explicit statement. It should be a shlomim. So apparently, if you would have just had it stam, it would have been lishman. And maybe that was the basis of Rava's diuk. Well, that would be a pretty poor basis. I mean, isn't there an obvious difference of a case where you started with one makshava and then had no particular makshava? Fine, so then the original beginning of your awareness is maintained automatically, even though you don't. What are you supposed to do? You're supposed to keep chattering and saying, I mean it, L'Shem Pesach. Yes, indeedy, I do mean it, L'Shem Pesach. And when I say L'Shem Pesach, I really mean L'Shem Pesach. I mean, obviously, you said L'Shem Pesach. I mean, how many times are you supposed to say L'Shem Pesach? So over there, we say, Kol ha'oseh al da'at rishonah hu oseh. This is another Gavi klal, which I think he has, but never hurts to make sure. So anybody who does something where he initially had made an explicit statement of what this purpose is, if unless there's a change, we continue to assume that that is his continued explicit purpose. And it's not called a stoma where we don't know. But what does that have to do with what Rav is trying to prove over here? That if you never said anything, that the stam would be kosher. Maybe it wouldn't be kosher. Maybe stam would be pasul, even if you shechted the Korban Pesach without any particular intent. Okay, so that cannot be the source of Rava. How about the end of that same Mishnah? Let's look, take a look further. In the other direction, you started doing something shelo lishman and then switched it to lishman. Let's give you an example of that, says the Mishnah. How about if you started l'shem shlamim and then you said l'shem Pesach? So in that case, the only reason that we're saying over here that the Pesach is pasul is because you started with the words of L'Shem Shlamim. But suppose you would have just shechted it at the beginning without any particular machshava at all. You never would have said L'Shem Shlamim. So if it would have just been stoma for the first half of the Shlita, and then you wake up and say, oh, this is specially for Korban Pesach, then it would be kosher. So we see that the stam at the beginning would have been the equivalent of shechting it for the Pesach. Yeah, of course, but how does that prove the point over here? Over there, there's another Gavi klal, which is Yolchiach Sofo al Techilato. When something changes at the end, where it was undefined initially, there's the inverse of the Kol Ha'Oseh Al Da'at Rishono Hu Oseh, which is that when things turn out at the end to be defined in a particular way, that is a gilui that this was the intent all along, even though it wasn't explicitly stated. So it's not really a case of a stoma, since in the end he said beferish he wants it for the Pesach. We're talking about a case where the guy said nothing, not at the beginning, not at the end. Rava walked in and assumed, and I still don't know why he assumed it, that when it comes to Zvachim, stoma is lishma, without a beginning, without an end. So that might be different in that case. And there may be even another reason why I can't bring any kind of proof from the second part of that Mishnah. Because, look, it may very well be that it makes absolutely no difference. But since the beginning of the Mishnah was saying specifically Lishman, v'shalo Lishman, so it said over here, shalo Lishman v'lishman, but maybe even stoma v'lishman wouldn't have been good. I don't know. So you certainly cannot use that Mishnah as an indication to Rava's assumption. Now let's see if we can find a different Mishnah, and that's a Mishnah much later on in the Masechet, which says as follows, Elamiha. L'shem shisha devarim hazevach nizbach. There are actually six different things that are meant to be included in your awareness of what it is that you're doing when you are bringing a korban. And this is what the kohen is supposed to have in mind. And they are, number one, l'shem zevach. That, of course, that's the lishma that we're talking about. The particular zevach that we're dealing with, is this an oila? Keep in mind, I am doing this for l'shem oila. Is this a shlamim? I'm doing this for l'shem shlamim. That's the zevach. Number two, l'shem zoveach. There's also a different lishma, and that's called lishma of the ba'alim. Who is the owner of this korban that is offering it to the mizbeach? And that way, we're going to see later that that's a different type of shalo lishma. And if he would have done it to be mechaper on someone else, then it would also have been a psul of shalo lishma. So those two things are absolutely essential. Zevach and zoveach. Now, number three, l'shem Hashem. Now, probably the best approach for l'shem Hashem, this is the way that the correct here, according to the Baches. And if that's the case, it means specifically, according to the Rishayni, ones who are Bale Kabbalah, they say that what it means is you have to have in mind the shame of Hashem, of the shame HaMiyuchad, of Yudke Vovke, and not ever to be bringing a korban to Elohim, which was the big problem of being makrif for Midas Hadin, and this is what got Nodav Avihu into trouble and so on. So Mitzad HaKabbalah, the L'shem Hashem, is to be have in mind the shame HaMiyuchad of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. L'shem Ishim, he has to have it in mind that he is going to be burning what it is that is meant to go on the Mizbeach. Not simply putting it on a barbecue, but actually burning it to a crisp. It's also meant to be L'shem Rea, which means that when he's doing it, it has to be not that he does something to make it, let's say, first a barbecue, and then he's going to go burn it. No, he's going to burn the actual raw meat. He's not doing anything to it to have the reach of the burning korban. L'shem nichoa, that it should be something that is l'rotzen, in the Eine Hashem, the way that we explain that later on, it's that the netzivui, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu is mitzaveh v'naseh ritzono, that is a nachat ruach. So that's a nichoach, is a nachat ruach. And if you're dealing with a chatas and an asham, you have to add to both of those, you have to add the additional makshava for the particular chait that it's being brought. Now, Rabbi Yossi pointed out that af mishalo ayab libo l'shem achas mikol elu, somebody brings a korban, and he didn't have any one of these makshavas at all. The korban is completely kosher, and it's actually a t'nai beit din, that the korban should be brought, even l'chatfila, without having in kavana for the particular korban, or for the particular zoveya. We'll see that that's in order to avoid confusion. Remember that these Kohanim are really working at a very rapid pace. I mean, bringing thousands of korbanos a day, and it may very easily get confused whether this was an Eilo or a Shlomim, and that one who's doing the Shlita or is doing the Zrika may have confused the Dam that he's bringing, or we know there's korbanos for different people, he may have confused the owner. It's better, said Besdin, as we'll see, that you should not think that you know what the korban is, and you should not think that you know who the owner is, because at least that way you'll avoid trouble. Okay, so now, if the Besdin, let's explain what that means. There's a T'nai Besdin. Atnu Beidin Delo Lema Lishma. You should not have in mind the name of the korban and the name of the owner, because you may make a mistake. Dilma Atila Mimar Shelo Lishma. You might actually get confused, and you will make a mistake on it. Now, I should just mention to you that it's not so pushit that the issue is making a mistake, because we're going to see later on in Menachos that there's a shail of whether a mistake in Shelo Lishma actually passes. So it's not only a mistake that it's the issue over here, but that once the Kohen gets into the action, there may be bad things that happen. Okay, we'll talk about that when we get to Menachos. But the pashtus over here is we want to avoid any type of errors, and therefore the Besdin made a takana. It's best to keep things stam. Now, I ask you, says the Gemara, Isaka daitach stam apasa. I mean, and let's say that you would think for a moment, and this was Rava's logic, if you think for a moment that stam is puzzle and that it's absolutely essential to have the makshavas lishma in order to be makshir a carbon, do you really think that the Besdin would have made it takana to do something that would puzzle the carbon? I mean, obviously, it's ridiculous. They're not going to switch around the whole point, are they? So it must be that stama is kosher, and that in order to avoid confusion in an application of an explicit lishma, the Besdin says, best to leave things stam. But it's not a new din that stam is kosher. Therefore, Rava was absolutely correct in assuming that when it comes to karbonis, stoma is the equivalent of lishma. Okay, so now we're ready to go along with half of Rava's assumption. What about the other half of Rava's assumptions? The other half of Rava's assumptions were that get stoma is pasul. Now, it didn't say that in the Mishnah. Why did Rava take for granted that when it comes to the dinim of gittin, that stam is actually pasul? Minolan, where does that come from? Maybe you think, and I think you're wrong, but maybe it's from that same Mishnah that you started quoting before. And it says over there in the continuation, a guy is walking along the street, Hayal Ver Bashuk, and he passes by a place where he hears Sofrim, and he hears somebody dictating to the Sofrim, all right, write these words, Ish Ploni, Mr. So-and-so, whatever his name was, Giresh Isha Plonit, it gives them a name, from this particular city, Mimakam Ploni. And the guy says, oh my God, this is a sign from the Lord. I've always wondered whether I should divorce my wife. That's my name. That's my wife's name. That's my city's name. What an opportunity and what a sign. And he dashes in to buy that very get. And he rushes in and he says, Zeshmi, Vizeshemishti, how much you want? Well, the din is, that get is pasul garish boat. Aha! So you see that even though everything is kosher, except they didn't have any particular guy with that name in mind, so because of that, that stoma is shalolashma, right? No, not right. Because the case over there, the way that it was explained in the context of Gittin, as we'll see, is Dilmakir Rav Papa. Rav Papa says that you neglected to tell me one very important din. And that was that the case was not that you just heard those words coming out of the window, but you heard those words coming out of the window of that very imposing building that said the International Safras College. And that therefore, since this was a school for Sofrim, then maybe this was just a practice in which, okay, boys, write the following get, and let's see how well you do. But it wasn't being written as a get at all. So if it's just a college for Sofrim, as Rabbi Yipopop learned, talk about Sofrim asuyim lehitlamed askinan, they're just having a practice run. This get perhaps wasn't even written as a get. The most fundamental lishma of a get, it needs to be written for purposes of what the pasuk says. V'katav la get kritut. It is a document that is meant to tear asunder a relationship, and this is just a piece of paper with an advertisement on it. It has absolutely no connection to Gittin. So this can't prove anything about Rava's assumption. So let's move on to the next part of the mission, okay? Elamiha. Yeter alkein. Right, we want to add even a more exciting chiddush. A man actually wrote a get to his wife. So this was definitely written l'shem gittin. And then he changes his mind and decides, I'm not going to go through with it after all. And so a guy from his city is talking to him. They're sitting out there in the bar. He tells the guy, you know, I couldn't go through with it. So the guy says, well, wait a minute. My name is exactly the same as yours. My wife's name is the same as your wife's name. We both live in the same city. I got a great deal for you. You got a spare get? Can you spare a get for a cup of coffee? I'll buy you a cup of coffee. You give me that get and I'll divorce my wife. How do you like that? Now that was definitely written for Gerishin, but it's still Pasul LeGarishbo. So that implies that unless you have a specific lishma for the person that's being used, it's not kosher. Ah, come on, but that doesn't prove Rava's point. This is not a case of stam. This is a case where it was written for the wrong woman, for heaven's sakes. How does that prove anything? Dilma shayne hatam, that's different, because intik le'lishum gerishin dahu. This get isn't stam. this get was written specifically Shalom Lishma because it was written for the first guy's wife. What does this have to do with Lishma? Okay, fine. Let's take a look at the next case, okay? The Mishnah keeps adding Kiddush. Elamiha, look at the next Kiddush. And even more than that, Yeter al Kain. How about if a man has two wives with the same name, and he has a get written with her name and his name to give it to the older wife? Katav legarishet hagadola. Now he changes his mind. He can no longer continue on with having two women of the same name that drives him nuts. Every time he calls her name, they both come. That'd be no problem today when neither would come. So lo yigaresh et haktana. He cannot, if he had written it originally to be megarish, the older wife, thinking he'd rather have the young chick, then it turns out now she's more trouble than she's worth. He'll get rid of her and he'll keep the older wife. He cannot change his mind. Lo yigaresh bo et haktana. So you see that if it wasn't written for this particular woman, that it's over here, it was still written at least for the same man, at least, right? So, you see from here, it has to be totally written. Nah, come on, you know that doesn't prove anything. It's all right to say it was written for the same man, but it was not written for the same woman. And it was specifically Shalom Lishma of the Ketana, if he had intended Legaresh Tagdola. So, Dilma Shani Hasam, the Intikle Lashem Gerish and Dagi, I'm sorry. Do you have any Raya for Rav, or are we just going to run around in circles? Oh, how about this case? Yeter Al Kain. Ah, here we got a max case, right? Yeter Al Kain, I'll give you even a more amazing finish. A guy walks in to the sofer, and he says, look, I got these two women. I haven't made up my mind which one of them I'm going to divorce. They both have the same name. So how about if you just write the get with my name and with her name, and then I decide later who her name is, which one? I'll use it for whichever one strikes my fancy at the time. So Amar Lelavlar, okay, he says to the guy, you just write this get, and these two women, I'll make up my mind. Even that is possible, Agareshbo. So you see, I mean, this seems to be a case of Stam, right? His wife, but Stam. I'm not defining which wife. And therefore, I would think if Stam is kosher, so this was written l'shem kritut, and it was written l'shem this man, and it was written l'shem this man's wife. I mean, you can't get closer than that to a Stam l'shma and let him apply gloria to whichever one is least glorious. And that way he can use it for whatever he wants, right? And it still says it's puzzle. And the Mishnah, therefore, is telling me that stoma is not the same as lishma, and it's no good. That was Rava's proof. Nope. Sorry. But even that doesn't prove Rava's point. Why? Because basically, what was that, the entire story of that get was not based on stam. It was based on brera. The idea over there was, it's written for whomever will be the recipient. Now, that raises the famous question of Brera. I hope Gavi is still there and getting all of this. And remember what Brera is all about. Brera means, as Rashi explains, that we live in a Newtonian world, and that if in the end things work out in a particular way, then that means that all along they were going to work out in that particular way. So if you hold of Brera, so then that would mean that when I say, I will give it to whomever I give it, in the old deterministic Newtonian mechanics, if I were given the information about every different force particle and so on in the world, I would be able to read your neurons, and I would know exactly how it would turn out that you would give the get to either younger or older, and therefore it now turns out that it was written for younger or older. That's the din of Brera. However, if you hold Ein Brera, as Rashi explains it, we actually live in a non-Newtonian world, and therefore, as Rashi puts it, nothing was ever meant to work out. Things work out randomly. And therefore, how can you ever say that this is what it was written for, since, I don't know, maybe at that instant, things could have worked out like this, and then one plank instant later, it would have worked out differently. So therefore, there is no such thing as Brera. And maybe that's the issue. Since the entire thing was predicated on there being a lishma, not on there being a shalol lishma, it's just that that lishma was going to be defined by Brera. Ori, are you bored by this? This is heavy-duty stuff. This is the one thing you should be paying close attention to, because it all has to do with lishma. No rubbing eyes. And therefore, if you hold that Ein Brera, that would be the reason that it's possible, not because it proves that, I'm telling you, no listening, as bad as your Abba. So that would tell us that if it were lishma, it would be fine, but the lishma cannot be achieved utilizing Brera, which has nothing to do with stoma. So where does Rava know what he keeps assuming here in asking his big contradiction? I don't see the contradiction yet. Elamiha, the truth is, there is yet another Mishnah in Gittin. And it says like this. If you are a sofer, and you are selling different types of legal documents, and these are called tofsim. So the tofes of a particular document is just a what the lawyers will always use for, what is that called again? I forgot the name. Thank you. Yes, boilerplate. These are boilerplate is the for contract. Yeah, it's a contract. So you write boilerplates. Now, you have to make sure when you write a boilerplate get that you do not write any part of it that needed to be written lishma. So it says over there, if you're writing just boilerplate gittin to be able to fill out subsequently lishma, then you've got to leave blank the name of the man, tzorech she'aniach makom ha'ish, the space for putting in the man's name, the space for putting in the woman's name, because you cannot have just gittin that are made for all of these combinations, you know, Yehuda divorces Tamar or something like that, and then hope that a Yehuda and Tamar walk in. It's got to be that specific Yehuda, that specific Tamar, like we just learned. So you've got to leave that blank. You have to leave blank the space of the witnesses. You have to leave blank the space of the date. And what's more, Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel said, you have to also leave the essential words that turn a get into a get kritut, which are the words Hare at Muteret L'chol Adam. So that's the central idea of the get kritut, and that has to be written with the specific kavana for that specific individual. So we're not talking about practice getting over here. We're talking about real getting over here. So why can't I just write boilerplates with names and just have a massive cabinet and pull out the get? Because Stam is not kosher. So therefore, it was correct for Rava to point out that we've got a contradiction, and here we saw in the Lashem Shisha Dvarim Azevach Nizbach later on, we saw that it's obviously not going to be Ma'akev, and it's fine to do it Stam, and by Gittin we see it absolutely is Ma'akev, and everybody agrees you've got to leave the Shema Ish and the Shema Isha, and because of that, there's a contradiction, and he came up with his solution. The difference whether something is omed in its own essence to be something or not. And therefore, there are times when the stama would be lishma, and there are times when stama is shalo lishma. Concluding our brilliant foray so far into the idea of the specific lishma, which in our Mishnah took the shape only of the lishen zevach. We still have before us all of these other dinim. All of those dinim for sure are not ma'akev, that it's lishen, you know, the smell and lishen, the burning, and that's not ma'akev. But the lishen zoveach, as we'll see, would be ma'akev, the person's being yotze, the same way that the shame of the korban could be ma'akev,